Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am Jen, the Healing Rebel. This was originally recorded as a live masterclass, and because it was live, it ended up being about 57 minutes long. So I'm re-recording this to condense it down, get through the content a little bit faster for you. Now, this masterclass is for you if you are experiencing symptoms of chronic illness. If you're experiencing symptoms of perimenopause or menopause, or if you are somebody who feels really stressed, really overwhelmed, holds a lot of tension in their body, and needs some top tips and tools to be able to feel calmer in life, to feel like you have breathing space in life, and to feel like you're on a healing journey. And I want you to have a think about, what does a healing or healthy life look like to you? For me, it's very different now. I live with Crohn's disease and endometriosis, and I'm perimenopausal. So what healthy looks like to me is different to what I used to think it looked like. And it's important for you to know where it is that you want to get to so you know which path to take. If I said to you, let's meet at Costa, but then I don't tell you which Costa, you're going to be confused. You're not going to know which roads to take. You're not going to know which path to take. So getting clear in your mind, what does healthy look like to you? And it might be, depending on where you are right now, it might be just the next step. When I was diagnosed with Crohn's in 2017, it was the biggest shock of my life. Within my peer group, I was top named Fitness Gen. I was talked about as the fit and healthy one. I was the one that was going to outlive everybody. I was the one that people looked to think, if I want to make changes, these are the changes I want to make. And I thought that I was fit and healthy. But what I have learned over the last 7 years is that yes, I was very fit, but no, I was not healthy. I had ignored signals from my body. I had ignored what I now know to be rest. And I had to get over the shock of being diagnosed with this debilitating disease, particularly the Crohn's in 2017. That was a shocker to me. Now, one of the things that I learned quite early on in my healing journey was accept the diagnosis, not the prognosis. I had been told by a medical professional that I had to lower my expectations of what I was going to be able and capable of doing. And because I've always been a rebellious person, and because I am really curious and need to know why things, I was probably that child that just kept going, why? Like, I don't just accept things as they are. Like, if somebody states a fact, I'm like, and it doesn't make sense to me, I want to know more. I want to know why. I want to dig in and investigate what is actually going on here. And that's what took me on this journey. So when I was told to lower my expectations, it was like the red rag to the bull. I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove you're wrong. I need to prove you're wrong, because I know people who live with this condition that live well with it. Their journey is their journey, my journey is my journey. Initially, when I started doing the research, there was a lot of self-blame. There was a lot of, look what you did wrong. And sometimes you don't know until you don't know. And more often, you might know and then you learn a lesson and then you know better. And then you choose whether or not you repeat that behavior, you repeat those actions, or do you make a change and do you get on to a path that feels better for you, feels more in alignment with you. What I did learn from my research is that nearly all illnesses, all diseases, all problematic symptoms, root cause is chronic inflammation. Now, acute inflammation is part of the healing process. If you get a cut on your skin, it will get red and inflamed around about it. That's the healing that's happening there. That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. That's what's supposed to happen. But when you have chronic inflammation, the healing part's not happening, and then more inflammation gets layered on top and layered on top and layered on top. Most of that chronic inflammation is driven by stress and a congested lymphatic system, which is driven by stress, which causes chronic inflammation, which causes stress, which causes the cycle continues on. And people talk about there being good stress and bad stress. If you're living with chronic inflammation, the good stress really doesn't exist for you because your body is in such a survival mode state. It's in such a, it's in the sympathetic nervous system state, which means everything's on high alert. Sometimes the sympathetic system is considered fight and flight. It's a space where our bodies can't heal because that's not the purpose of them. We want to be able to get into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest. Now, both of these symptoms have positives and negatives. One is not good, one is not bad. They are both good, but equally they both can be bad if you are stuck too much in one more than the other. There are lots of different things that can drive your stress, that can drive that inflammation. Nutrient deficiencies, trauma, grief, dysregulated breathing, dehydration, poor sleep quality. It can be, it most often is a combination of all of those things and more. There might be a genetic DNA element to it, but epigenetics has shown that, yeah, you've got these genes, but the environment and your lifestyle is what creates them to switch on, switch off, do this, do that. I've heard people say that your genetics might load the gun, but it's your lifestyle and habits and behaviors that fire that gun. Your body's super, super intelligent. Your body, your nervous system knows way more than the mind. The mind will try and override, and that's where we need to come in and learn to listen to the body, listen to quieting the mind down, being able to get into that parasympathetic nervous system state so that we can hear, we can respond rather than react. And then we can get into a space of healing. I'm just glancing at my notes every now and again to make sure that I don't go off in tangents because I have a habit to go off in tangents. And I'm kind of saying this stuff in a different order now, and I'm like, oh, have I forgot to say something? So bear with me if you keep seeing me glancing off to the side, know that that's what it is. Just keeping on track so that you only get the useful information. When I started this healing journey, it was driven by pain. It was driven by, I have got to do something to get better. And for most of us, that is the case. Shit gets so bad that we just think, oh, I have got to make changes. I have got to do whatever it is that you're telling yourself that you have got to do. And what I want to bring into the teachings is you might have got to that place through pain, but I want to, you to get to a place where you're bringing changes in through pleasure. And rather than feeling like I've got to make these dietary changes, I've got to make these lifestyle changes, I want you to get to, I get to make these lifestyle changes, I get to make these dietary changes, whatever it is that you're bringing in for you, so that you can heal, so that you can be the best version of you, so that you can feel empowered to take control of your health and to feel amazing. Or as amazing as you are able to in that time. When I was in that really bad flare last year, there were times that I couldn't get up out of bed without assistance. I literally couldn't put my hands down and push myself up. I needed to be pulled up. When I stood, I had to be held because I couldn't put weight through my feet. I was in so much pain. So for me, the next step there was being able to set myself up in bed, was being able to get out of the bed and walk to the door, and then gradually being able to get down the stairs by myself, being able to get into the bath by myself, being able to wash, dry, dress myself without needing somebody there to actually do it for me. Which is why I said earlier, really important to know where it is. What is your next step? What is it that you, how is it you want to feel? What does healing look like for you? What does a healthy life look like for you? That's why that's really important to be there. One of the things that I teach in my book, The Healing Rebels, the new book that I'm writing just now, 9 Rules to Sort Your Shit, is about we cannot help people if we do not stop to refill our cup. If you have a cup of water and you take a sip and you pass it around, everybody who's asking for your time, your energy, your whatever it is that they're asking for you, from you, and you don't take any time in that to stop and refill that cup, by the time the cup gets back to you, it's empty. You have nothing for yourself, but then you've also got nothing to give to other people. And a lot of us like to be in service. A lot of us like to be able to help and nourish and support people. But you can't do that if you're burned out. You can't do that if you're exhausted. So what does refilling your cup look like to you? For one person, it might be going on holiday, lying in the sun. For another person, it might be sitting down and reading a book. It might be eating a nourishing meal. It might be saying no to the things that you don't want to say yes to. You know, if it's not a hell yeah, it's a hell no. If it's I'm not really sure, it's a no. What I'm going to teach you in today's masterclass is my five basic pillars that are going to help you start to make steps and move forward. These are what I always revert back to as my basics. Can I get these right? And then what do I add on from that? It's going to be different from day to day, hour to hour, symptom to symptom. But I think once you learn these, get a grasp of these, it's going to exponentially help. And what I'm offering you is things that help you tweak what it is that you're doing rather than giving you loads of extra stuff that you need to add into your day. There's nothing worse when you think, right, need to make change. And then it's like, where can you add in exercise? Where can you add in going for a walk in nature? Where can you add in this, whatever? And you just think, I'm already stretched to the max. I just don't have time for that. These tools, these pillars that I'm going to give you are going to help you get into a better headspace so that you can feel like you have that control, that you can make better decisions for yourself. And it's tweaking what you're already doing rather than adding in more stuff. The first one is knowing your values. This is the first rule in my book, 9 Rules to Sort Your Shit. And when I was taught values, it was about 14 years ago now. When I was taught this, I was like, how have I never known this? What? How have I managed to exist this far into my life and not know this stuff? Your values are your inner compass, they're your North Star, they are your guide to making decisions. They are your why. And also, when you live by your values, they are an incredible stress buster. When I worked out what my basic values were and then started making decisions by them, it was like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. It was the veil had been lifted from my eyes. Oh, wow, I don't need to be in conflict anymore with myself, with other people. I can make a decision and know why it is that that decision feels right, but also know why it is when I make a decision that doesn't feel right, why it doesn't feel right. And the really simple questions that you need to answer to be able to work out what these values are. The first question is, what is most important to you in life? Second question, if you kind of go, I don't know, to the answer to that first question, is, as your best self, how do you want to show up in the world? What does that look like to you? What are you displaying? What are you doing? How are you behaving? And if you still are kind of stumped with that, the third question would be, well, how do you want other people to show up for you? What traits do you want to see in other people? Why do you like other people? What is it about them? Because very often, what we like about other people is a reflection on ourselves. It's like the things that we don't like about other people, when we get really honest, that's the things that we don't like about ourselves. So for me, some of mine were freedom, integrity, curiosity, honesty, and kindness. Now, for each of your words, you need to get really clear on the definition of them. So for a lot of people, integrity and honesty could mean the same thing. For other people, they could be quite different. Freedom is a great example of what is different for one person versus another. For me, freedom is having a level of security, being able to physically look after myself, being able to physically get out and go to the shops without having to be lifted and laid, not having to use the disabled bay, being able to go out on my paddle boards. That is freedom to me. For other people, freedom might be living a nomadic life, not having responsibilities, not being in a relationship, not having those levels of security that I equate to having as freedom. So really, really important that once you've got your words, that you define them so that you know what they mean to you. And then the important part, the important question that you need to then reflect on once you have four, start with like three or four, maybe five. Are you living to these values in every decision you make for yourself? It's really easy to live by your values for other people. It's not quite as easy to prioritize yourself, especially for women. Our nature is to look after others. For most women, our nature is to reach out, to look after, to nurture, to help people. But are you doing that for yourself? It's a really important question. The next pillar is hydration. Are you drinking enough fluids? And are those fluids being absorbed by your body? And are those fluids getting into the cells so that your body can function optimally? If you are dehydrated, your body will be in survival mode. It will be in a stressed state, and it will be searching your body, where can I get this? Where can I get this hydration from to be able to nourish the areas of the vital organs, all the areas that really need this hydration. Two simple things to check is, do you feel thirsty? If you feel thirsty, you're probably already dehydrated. And also the skin pinch test. So on the back of your hand, roughly between the ring finger and middle finger, if you pinch your skin up and then let it go, how quickly does that ping back? So today when I've done this, mine has pinged back pretty nicely. When I did this on the live call, I pulled it up and it just went. It was like a balloon deflating so slowly. I was like, oh, dehydrated. Now, when I did the live call, I was anxious and stressed. So there was a lot of cortisol, a lot of adrenaline pumping through my body. My body was then trying to flush that out So if you're in a stress state all the time, you need to take on even more fluids because the release of hormones, this increase of stuff going on in your body needs that extra hydration to be able to process it. So it's important to take on fluids. Now, what I learned was tap water really is not a great hydrator. Tap water, to make it safe for drinking, has lots of chemicals added to it, particularly chlorine. So that keeps the water safe so that there's no bacteria coming through into your water when you drink it. However, when you drink that is toxic for your body. Think what chlorine is. Chlorine is a bleach, and you're drinking bleach. What's that going to do to your oral microbiome, to your gut microbiome? It's going to damage it. It's going to wipe things out. So if you're drinking tap water, potentially you're causing more harm than good, and your body will recognize those toxic chemicals and flush that through as quickly as it can and not absorb the water in. I purify my water through a water filter that I use, and then I add minerals back into the water so that my body recognizes this is beneficial. Let's suck this water in. Purified water is not really any use. It's just going to pass straight through. Body will be like, there's nothing there for us. Bottled water is a prime example of that. Most of that is purified water, with the exception of a couple of brands that are mineral water. Evian, Volvic, Fuji are three that come to mind. I'm not affiliated with any of those three companies. I do know that when I drink Evian water, if I'm out and I've not brought my bottle with me and I get a bottle of water, if I drink Evian water, I always feel more hydrated than if I picked up one of the other brands. How I mineralise my water is I add Celtic sea salt to it. So Celtic sea salt, pink Himalayan salt are two of probably the best sea salts that you can get to mineralise your water. Can't get either of them, then sea salt would be your next best thing. Table salt is not any use because that is just sodium chloride. There are no other minerals in table salt. You have in those minerals, you have magnesium, potassium, manganese, iodine, copper, a whole host of other minerals that I completely can't remember the periodic table, that are in that water that your body goes, oh, we need some of that. Let's suck that in. Let's use that. So it's important to make sure you hydrate. On the live call, somebody asked what I else I put in my water because it is this white cloudy. I add magnesium to this. When I do this, I teach this in the Healing Rebel Mastery course, how I do this. If you're adding oral magnesium, you need to go really slowly and really carefully with it. Some magnesiums are great for helping improve the motility of your bowel, which means that you go to the toilet more as clean. And so if you're constipated, particularly magnesium citrate is excellent for helping with constipation. But if you're not constipated, it could cause diarrhea. So with oral magnesium, always be really careful. This is just a sidebar. This isn't one of the pillars. The hydration part is the pillar. Yeah, with magnesium, do be cautious, careful with it. For magnesium, I would always recommend that people start with magnesium baths, Epsom salts baths, pink Himalayan salt baths. Home Bargains do really cheap bags of the Himalayan salts and magnesium flakes and Epsom salts that you can put in your bath. If you don't have a bath, a foot bath, so get in the basin, put some warm water, put some Epsom salts. That's a great place to start to help improve the magnesium in your body. Again, this is a complete side note to the pillars. Magnesium is essential for immune function, for nervous system function, for brain function. So if you are low in magnesium, those three systems are going to be affected. And if they are not working right, nothing's working right because no system in your body works alone. Right, on to the next pillar before I start telling you some more. Your breath. First thing that we do when we enter this world is we take an inhale. The last thing we do as we exit this world is take an exhale. Everything that we do in between is life. It is our life force. If you're in a stressed state, you're only going to be breathing into the upper part of your chest. To be able to get in to, I mentioned before, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. When we inhale, we're stimulating the sympathetic nervous system. When we exhale, we're stimulating the parasympathetic nervous system. The optimal breathing rate is about 5.5 seconds for your inhale, 5.5 seconds for your exhale. If you're a talker, you won't be hitting that because you'll have really rapid and you'll probably be taking in more breath than you are exhaling breath. When you are concentrating, a lot of us get concentration apnea. Some people call it email apnea. I'm going to put this little thing because I keep clicking it. Yeah, a lot of people hold their breath when they're focusing on something. I teach Pilates and yoga, and I have to constantly remind my class and myself to breathe because as soon as you start focusing on something, work it out, work it out, work it out. And then you're in that heightened state. You need to exhale to let that go. Something that I learned recently from one of my breathing teachers is, and I, is this is something that I'm becoming really conscious of when I'm teaching now, that when we start to guide people through their breath, we will maybe guide them to start with the inhale, but they might already have too much of an inhale, and then they start to inhale again, and then they feel this anxiety increase, they might feel panic start to increase, they might start to feel stress increase in their body because they've already held their breath, and then we're asking them to take a breath in again. So if you are somebody who maybe holds their breath or talks a lot, and it might be for your job that you talk a lot, it might be that that's just who you are as a person. If you feel like you're a stressy person, always holding tension, exhale first and then take an inhale. And then take your gentle exhale. And if you can, breathing in through the nose, it's really important to be breathing in through the nose. We filter the air, we humidify the air, we warm the air, clear out bacteria, viruses, air pollution, particles that are not meant to be there. That's why we have hairs in the nose. We can breathe through our mouth, but that's taking the air as it is, unfiltered, straight down into the lungs. So breathing in through the nose, super, super important. If you are a chronic mouth breather, it might take practice to start breathing through your nose, but it's really important to do it because if you have been chronically mouth breathing, the passages in the nose will have started to shrink. It's a use it or lose it kind of situation. So we need to start breathing through the nose. That will help expand out those air passages in the nose to be able to breathe through the nose. So the inhale is really important. Now, when you're doing relaxation methods, and when somebody asked me this in a class once, they were like, I've always been told to breathe out through my mouth on my exhale, but that makes me feel really anxious. So I said, suggested to them that they breathed out through their nose instead to see how that made them feel, and that made them feel much more comfortable. Other people have the opposite effect. So inhale through the nose where you can, and then notice for you, where do you want to exhale from? Do you want to exhale from your nose or from your mouth? What feels nicer for you? Whatever your experience is correct. Just because a teacher has told you this or a book has said that, if your experience is different, know that that's the truth. Take back power and believe in yourself and your experience. And then tweak it so that it suits you. The ethos of all my teachings. You need to be able to have that power. With our breath, we want to be able to have this beautiful dance between sympathetic, between parasympathetic, because as I said before, sympathetic might be classed as your fight or flight, but it's also your action, your preparation to go, your motivation to do. We need to take that breath in. Our parasympathetic nervous on the exhale is to help us slow down, to calm down, to be able to get into rest and digest. If we're over exhaling, we then get into this space of lethargy, feeling flat. So if you are feeling flat, how does it feel if you start to take a couple of deep breaths and really fill the lungs? That might be where you need to be. You might need to take a few deeper breaths in to reoxygenize and reoxygenate the body. Get that oxygen up into the brain. If your oxygen is not getting up into the brain, then you are going to get brain fog. You are going to feel sluggish. Things are not going to be good. So we need to be able to get that to happen. The next pillar is movement. So movement is medicine. Motion is lotion. I have all the little fun things to say. All of these joints can move for a reason because they're meant to move. And your body loves movement. The muscles and the joints need movement to keep them supple, to keep them mobile. If you've been sitting at your desk for ages and you go to get up and it's, oh, everything feels stiff. If you can bring in more movement, and it can be as simple as just sitting back in your chair and having a stretch, moving around, standing up, sitting down, getting down onto the floor, standing back up. It can be as simple as that to make your body more happy. It doesn't need to be going to the gym and doing exercise. It doesn't need to be going out for a run. It doesn't need to be doing a big thing. It's just how can you get more movement into your day as it is right now? When I was in that Crohn's flare last year and I was in bed, I was bed bound, I think, for months, a good 2 or 3 months. Fatigue, pain, oh, just I was in hell, but I knew that movement was really, really beneficial. So I was trying to wiggle around in bed as much as I could. I was wiggling my fingers, wiggling my toes, taking those diaphragmatic breaths to get the belly breathing, to get this expanse in the center of my body to start to get this movement, because I knew that I couldn't up and do big movements. Like, what is possible for me now? And that's really important, as when I talked about at the start, knowing where it is that you want to be in your healing and health life. What does that look like to you? You need to start where you are. What's the next step forward for you? And it might be that you're already quite mobile, but your body's feeling stiff, and that you need to get into the gym and start lifting some weights to build more muscle. Particularly important for women, especially when menopausal women, they think about 50%, if not more, of menopausal women are at high risk of osteoporosis. You need to do weight-bearing exercises to be able to mitigate some of that risk. Lifting heavy things, doing things like Pilates and yoga, where you're doing balance work, where you're putting weight through. Body weight is perfect if you cannot or do not like going to the gym. Standing, balancing, walking, all of these things are really, really beneficial. Doesn't need to be big. Exercise and movement have been linked to much better health outcomes. So longer life, but longer and healthier life. Like, nobody wants to live till they're 100 if they're stuck in the nursing home not being able to do anything. Most people only want to live to a ripe old age if they can live their life. And that's what we're going to be able to do through movement. If any of you have seen the Blue Zones documentary, the Centurions are able to go up and down from the floor so easily. They're able to climb mountains. They're able to cook food and be look after children and be part of the community. In my classes, the women who have amazing mobility are the women who are now grandmothers or childminders, and they are looking after kids, and they're up and down off the floor, and they're moving around, and they are functional all day long. So important for our health. It's important for our blood pressure, weight management, anxiety, depression. There's various different versions of anxiety, and I have experienced several of them. Anxiety can come, this is another side note, so anxiety can come from dysbiosis in your gut, so gut health, microbiome being all out of sync. It can come from there being too much energy and it not being burned off, and it can also come from your mental state of where are your thoughts, what is your thinking. So doing movement is one way to be able to help burn off some of that energy. And also, another side note, exercise and movement has been shown to help improve the health of your gut microbiome. Not too much exercise, though, not lots of really high intensity exercise that has the complete negative effect, as I learned on my journey. Just jumping back to my journey, I used to be really fit, but I used to do excessive amounts of exercise and excessive amounts of high intensity exercise. And I have now learned that that high intensity exercise creates inflammation specifically in the gut. So prolonged, excessive, high intensity exercise is damaging for your health. And very often we think we need to do more, we need to do more, we need to do more. we don't for most for people who are already doing a lot, and you're if you're not getting the results, and this you see this a lot in perimenopausal, menopausal women, they start to put on some weight because hormones are changing. So then they start running more and that and dieting more, and that causes more stress in the body, which then makes them hold on to more weight, and they're getting heavier instead of lighter, and they're not understanding what's going on. Why am I getting fatter? This is wrong, because what you did in your 20s is now not working in your 40s and 50s, and it's because of this cumulative stress. This, oh, you're stressing your body, you're stressing your body, you're stressing your body, you're not able to get rid of that fat, you're not able to burn that fat. So bringing it down, and it's so counter, you think, oh my goodness, this is so counterintuitive, bringing it down, being more gentle with your movements, practicing more Pilates and yoga, maybe doing the occasional HIIT class, maybe doing the occasional sprint or whatever it is that you like. If because I love absolutely loved teaching spin classes, and I miss being on the bike so much, but every now and again I'll go and do a wee 15 or 20 minutes on the bike just to give me that wee kick without overstrenuating, without overstressing my body and having a negative effect. So you comes back to what I said at the very start about listening to your body. You need to listen to your body and know that it's sending you the signals. What are the messages it's sending you? What is it that you need? If you're doing something and it's having the opposite effect, then you need to do the opposite of what it is that you're doing. Oh, excuse me, my belly's grumbling. Right. The next and fifth pillar is your lymphatic system. Now, if you've been following me for any time, you will know I'm always banging on about the lymphatic system. Love your lymph. Get a daily lymphatic practice. Your lymphatic system is your internal sewage system. It clears out the toxins. It scoops up all the rubbish to get it out your body. Now, your extraction points for your detoxification are your pee and your poo, your sweat, your breath, mucus, comes out the nose, and your tears. Your wax a little bit as well. All of these points, we often try and stop them from happening, covering ourselves in deodorant so that we're not sweaty. If we are peeing too much, we sometimes stop drinking water, then we end up dehydrated. What the hell? We need that to be able to flush out those toxins. If you've got a congested lymphatic system, you have inflammation in your body. If you live with an autoimmune condition, if you have eczema, psoriasis, acne, allergies, puffiness in your body, that, and even if you're holding on to excess weight, that's all signs that you've got inflammation in your body. That's all signs that your lymphatic system is congested, it's holding on to those toxins within the fat cells, or it's creating an inflammatory response to try and push those toxins out. Now, before I tell you any more about the lymphatic system, there are some conditions where lymphatic work is not appropriate, or you have to go and speak to a specialist before you embark on this journey. If you have cancer or undergoing chemotherapy, whether that's for cancer or you're using chemotherapy drugs to control an autoimmune condition, liver, kidney, heart issues, you have to go and check with your consultant whether or not lymphatic work is safe and appropriate for you to do. For some of these conditions, it's really beneficial and actively encouraged. For some, it's not. And I am not a medical professional, so I cannot tell you whether or not that is the answer. I do have a degree in sport and exercise science, but that is not a medical degree, so I would not be insured to be able to tell you whether or not it's the right thing for you. So speak to your specialist and ask them. So if you are experiencing any of those things, if you're feeling sluggish, if you have brain fog, if you experience PMS or menopausal symptoms, then that's an indication that your lymphatic system is sluggish as well. Lymphatic system is wonderful. It gives us what we consider symptoms: runny nose, sore throat, fever, headaches. These are all your lymphatic system ramping up to try and push the shit out. Very often, the first thing we do is we reach for a tablet to suppress that. Now, what that's doing is it's slowing down your lymphatic system. It's not allowing your lymphatic system to clear out, to get rid of whatever it is it's trying to get rid of. You've got diarrhea, take Imodium, stop the bowel from clearing. Maybe the bowel needs to be cleared. You've got a runny nose, you take a decongestant. Maybe your nose needs to be cleared. Got a fever, that's your body trying to build up heat to sweat out whatever it is that it's trying to get rid of. We take a paracetamol, we suppress that from happening. Now, I'm not saying that medications are not useful at times. If you have a prolonged fever, then yeah, taking paracetamol to slow that down or to give you a little bit of respite might be the thing to do. If you have a prolonged fever over, I think it's 40, it's either 40 or 72 hours, you need to seek medical assistance because your body's not breaking that fever. You're not being able to get to the space to break the fever and it can become dangerous. So please do seek medical attention again if you have that. But if you've got runny nose, try and let that nose run. Keep hydrating so that the lymphatic system can keep doing its job. Keep moving your body. The only two things that move your lymphatic system are movement and your breath. So diaphragmatic breathing and moving your body helps keep things going. Hydration, make sure that the lymph fluid is not sludgy and sticky. It helps keep that moving so that things can clear out, so that things can move on. Now, obviously, if you're not able to sleep because of your symptoms, or they are really prolonged, then taking medication is going to give you some relief. You know, I'll struggle with my cold through the day, but then I'll maybe take a wee cold if I can't breathe to get some sleep because sleep is really healing. But also, I don't want to overload my system because your lymphatic system, then you put a paracetamol in, you put a decongestant in, Imodium, whatever, your body then has to process that and put it through the detoxification process to clear it out, which is then loading more shit into your system. Now, when we're doing lymphatic work, and I'm not going to teach you in this masterclass, when we're doing lymphatic work, we always clear from the terminal points first. Terminal points are up at the collarbones, and we always start at the left collarbone. When you're doing that, you're stretching the skin. So I'll show you that on my hand. You're stretching the skin rather than gliding across the top. Now, gliding across the top, you will move the skin a little bit, but it is about that stretch, and it's not deep because if you push deep, you're getting in past the lymph into the muscle. It's just the weight of your hand on there. So weight of the hand on there, and try and be on the skin. I've never worn a jumper to demonstrate that. That will help start to clear things out. So if you're even if all you do is just clear those collarbones, that's going to help. That's like clearing the hair out the drain when the drain's backed up. Sometimes that's all that you need to do is just clear that terminal point, and then things start flowing better. If you think that that's not helping, then it's maybe then you'll have a deeper block somewhere else, and that's where learning the lymphatic drainage work is going to be really beneficial. So those five pillars, to remind you, I need to remember them. We have values, we have hydration, we have breath, we have movement, we have lymphatic drainage. Those are the five pillars. If you can start working on them, you are going to notice great improvements in your health and well-being. You are going to notice valuable, valuable benefits. If you want to take this further, I have a program called the Healing Rebel Mastery. It's an online program with accountability. It's £15 a month or £150 for the year, so you get 2 months free. And in there, we teach you, I give you a spreadsheet with all your values, I give you a guided me guiding you through questions to help you be able to work out those values. We go deeply into the lymphatic drainage work. I give you loads of different breathing techniques, loads of movement classes, the hydration tips, and then there are another six modules at the moment. So my Master Your Menopause Women's Wellbeing course is in there, Mastering Your Digestion and Gut Health, Mastering Your Emotions, how to process in a healthy way. I have bonus modules where I've got three teachers that have come in and offered time. So Amanda, who is Mrs. Brain Trainer, talks about the mind, the brain, how it works, why we think the way we think, how we can reprogram that. Jack does some tapping, EFT tapping, to help be able to clear some of those emotional blocks that we might have. And Janice, my best friend, Janice Klein, who has, Jack's also a very good friend as well, and so is Amanda. Janice, who is the gut health queen, she is always banging on about fermented foods. She has done an episode for you all about that in the gut health section as well. And then I am adding in additional modules as questions come up as we progress and move through this. As part of that, you get a monthly email asking for you to set some goals, to ask what you achieved in the previous month. So you've got that accountability. It's an email from me. You get to email directly back to me if you have got any questions. There's also a WhatsApp community group where you can put questions in and also share with each other maybe some thoughts, recipes, ideas. I'll also be in there making sure that you're holding yourself accountable. I'm there to hold you accountable. We have each other to hold you accountable. So if that sounds like something you want, it's only £15 a month. Wanted to keep it in that affordable bracket because there are a lot of coaches out there that have very expensive programs. And when I was struggling, I didn't have £1,700 or £2,000 to go and work with these people. And it would have added more stress, and I don't want this to be stressful. I want this to be accessible. I want this to be manageable. I want this to be doable, and I want you to get a benefit from it. So if that sounds like something that you need, then please do check out wherever you're watching this in the comments. Send me a message if you can't find it, the information to how of how to join. Or you can go over to my website, iamjenwilson.com/heal, HEAL. What was I going to finish on? What was I going to finish on? I've just had a brain fart. Okay. So get your values done. Get hydrating. Move your body. Breathe. Get interested in your lymphatic system. Get into that left collarbone. If you have got any questions, please do reach out. If you want to share your experiences, please do reach out. If you want to share this masterclass with anybody else who might get a benefit from it, please do reach out. Oh, I've just remembered what it was I was going to tell you. So on the live call, I had a couple of questions. One of them I addressed. It was about what was I drinking in the water. The other question was somebody was asking me about the herbs that I use because I share on my social media platforms my herbal teas and my herbal blends that I use. I use a whole variety of different herbs. I wouldn't prescribe specific herbs or a call like this because lots of different herbs have lots of different uses depending on what your symptoms are, depending on what the weather's doing, depending on your energy, depending on what it is that you're looking for, would determine which herbs are best to use. But I would be more than happy to answer questions if you have something specific that you're thinking, what herb could maybe help me with X, Y, or Z. I use them as teas, as herbal infusions. I also make my own tinctures and use them in my bath as well, which I have a bath tea blend. And I've also got a chai tea blend, which are available on the website. Right. Thank you so much for your time. I would love to have you in the Healing Rebel Mastery if that is for you. And if you have got any questions, please do reach out. Thank you so, so much. Take care.